It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, 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 closet dwellers and closet busters. You know what time it is. It's time for that Coming Out Lounge. Once again, my name is Rick Clemens. I'm the Coming Out Coach, the guy that helps you hopefully simplify your life so you can make those big, bold moves out of whatever closet you've got. And today, because we're in just winding up kind of the Pride Month celebration stuff, we've been doing it all of June. We're doing a couple more shows here into July because Pride doesn't stop just in June. There's Pride year round. I thought it'd be kind of nice to talk about our stories. And you hear a lot of stories on the Coming Out Lounge all the time, but there's something to be said about really realizing that we've all got a story. It's your story. It's the good, the bad, the ugly, and it's all yours to be told. But too often we get really scared of telling our story because, well, that just might mean we have to share our truth. And so what I wanted to do is really step into this reality of what our story is and how it builds the foundation for us to truly enable ourselves to stand taller and show our unique self in the world. And besides, who doesn't like a good story, even if there are a few ugly parts? So I decided to bring one of my friends who is a master storyteller himself. He's a playwright. He's done some acting. He's a great guy who runs one of the coolest storytelling events I've ever been in. I've actually had the privilege of performing a couple of times at his storytelling event. It's called Bada Bing, Bada Boom Storytelling for Cash in West Hollywood, California. His name is Christopher Brun Haran. And if that last name sounds familiar, yes, we've had his husband on the show a couple of times, Jesse Brun Haran. And I figured, you know, what's good for one spouse is good for the other. And I'm so excited to have Christopher here to talk about storytelling and his story of coming out and the importance of really getting solid in our story as we step out of the closet door. So, hey, buddy, welcome to the Coming Out Lounge podcast.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
No, I'm glad to have you, man. And I meant everything I said. I love your storytelling event. And just so the audience knows, it's really good because I drive an hour and a half once a month just to go be in that show and listen to other fantastic storytellers. It's not about just being up on stage. I love going and just hearing these great storytellers. It's a pretty cool deal you've created there, man.
I appreciate that. You know, it's funny. I fell into it kind of accidentally, like around 3 years ago. I just took a class with this really great storyteller named Cole Kasdan. I just, you know, I literally went to this website of a place called The Writing Pad, and I noticed that she was teaching this class, and it was, you know, to learn how to tell 5 to 7 minute stories out loud with the intention of bringing them to places like The Moth and other storytelling venues around town. And, I just loved it. I mean, I feel like it's the perfect amount of time to tell a story. Yep. And also what's great about it is too, is like, there's so many stories that I've told out loud that have been about things in my life that when I was living them, I never in a million years would have thought that I would have stood in front of large groups of people talking about this one day. Yeah. So there's something cathartic about it and something powerful about it and just entertaining about it as well.
Well, I think you just hit on a couple of things that make it so important to tell our story is a lot of times when we finally tell our story, it is this cathartic release. And it also, I know for me, every time I get to go tell parts of my story, in fact, I literally just before we came on the air to record, I just walked back in from being out doing some storytelling at some high schools today. And it's always such a, it's a personal rush, number one, but what's more important is I get to see the effect it has on other people and helping them see themselves. So you've always kind of been dabbling in this arena, it sounds like. I mean, from being a playwright and doing some acting and stuff, what really like kicked this off besides going to that event? Was it something you thought, well, maybe one day, or it just came along, as you said?
You know, I've always journaled, you know, I've always kept a journal. I enjoy writing first person, you know, in my own voice. Yep. You know, the rules of the storytelling that I do is that I just prefer that they be true stories, autobiographical, something that happened to you. So, you know, when the storyteller gets up and tells a story, we know that it's true. We know that it's happened to that person.
Right.
They're not telling a story about somebody else. So right away, like that person, you know, is vulnerable and you get to see. I really like the idea of just like showing a little bit of your life in that little bit of mm-hmm. time. And you'd be surprised what you can learn about somebody in that little bit of time, especially like, you know, I don't have a theme in my night, but you know, I love that your show is called The Coming Out Lounge, because I've heard a lot of people's coming out stories when they've gotten up and told stories out loud. Mm-hmm. And my coming out story, I've told out loud a bunch of times, and it's a big hit when I go and tell it out loud. And again, it's like when it happened to me and when I was living through it, it was actually quite painful. But then when you like write it to tell out loud to a group of people, you realize that there's something universal about that, because everybody's awkward sort of teen years, whether they're gay or straight, I think that everybody's got a little bit of like horridness that happened to mm-hmm. them and embarrassment. Yeah. I mean, I just think it's great to be super vulnerable. And then at the end of the day, if you can really own it and tell it, you end up sort of coming on the other side of it in a more powerful place.
Right. So speaking of being open and vulnerable, why don't we just dive right in there with your coming out story? Because I think it would really benefit our listeners. So you didn't think you're going to get away with coming on here and not telling at least parts of it. So I mean, let's kind of dive in and just take us on a little bit of that journey. Why don't you?
You know, I grew up in a small town called Port Jervis, New York, just a really small town, 9,000 people. My story of the first time that I told somebody that I was gay, what happened for me is I used to live around 2.5 hours from New York City, and it was like a quick bus ride into New York. And when I was like in eighth grade, I started sneaking down to New York City. So I would just like sneak down to New York City. But, you know, when I was growing up, I never told anybody that I was gay. People told me all the time. Like in elementary school, I always say I sort of blossomed between fourth and fifth grade. And by blossom, I mean that, you know, suddenly I just started picking up the phone and people would mistake me for my mother on the phone. I would say hello and people would be like, Marlene. And I would be like, no. And I would be mortified because it would be people that should have known better, like my father.
Right.
So, you know, I immediately, you know, my body sort of betrayed me. Just one day I woke up suddenly, like I was sort of like waving my hands when I ran. And I had this little, like, you know, definitely had a little milkshake walk a little bit. And people were just telling me about it all the time. So like all of a sudden in fourth grade, I was this popular sort of like Cub Scout and like everybody loved me. And then all of a sudden I showed up in fifth grade and older siblings were telling like their brothers to not stand next to me in the locker room. And I couldn't quite figure out why. And then it just dawned on me. I was like, oh wow. Like what people are telling me is an obvious sissy.
Yeah.
So it was like mortifying for me. And, you know, I did everything in my power to sort of combat that, you know, painful things, like really like tea and sympathy type things, where like, I remember walking with bricks, you know, in my backyard to kind of try to get my hands to stay by my sides. And, you know, I remember trying to like deepen my voice. I was really doing all kinds of things to just try to like tame my body, so to speak.
Yep.
By the time high school rolled around, I had kind of successfully pulled it off. I was playing some sports and I was, you know, I'd lifted weights. And so, you know, people had stopped sort of like yelling, you know, that I was queer out car windows and things to me. Mm-hmm. But I remember I had this friend who I was in love with. He was my best friend and he was painfully straight. And, you know, I was best friends with his girlfriend. And so he would spend the weekend at my house and I just was just in love with him. And I don't know how it came about, but we got this idea that we were going to go down to New York City and we were going to lose our virginity, because I had found out that if you went to these New York City strip clubs at the time, you could hire these strippers. You could get a back room with these hookers and you kind of lose your virginity. So we went down to New York to do this. And I remember when I got there with him, all I wanted was for this to not go through. There was this part of me that really felt like maybe he was on the same page as me. Like he was, you know, hanging out with me all the time. Maybe his, you know, makeout sessions with girls were as awkward and as painful as mine were. And then all of a sudden, you know, where we were watching these strippers and he chose his and I chose mine. And I was like saying goodbye to him and he was walking off into his private room with his, and I was walking off to my private room with mine. And I remember I was just heartbroken because I was in love with him and I was on the other side of this wall and I could hear him losing his virginity on the other side of the wall. And here I was with this young woman who was 19 years old. Her name was Baby, she told me, because she liked Love's Baby Soft and she reeked of Love's Baby Soft. And wow. I remember I did everything in my, you know, 16-year-old power to get it on with this woman. And it was awful and embarrassing and I couldn't rise to the occasion. And, you know, she ended up looking at me and saying to me, "Are you gay?" And I was just, I had nowhere to go. You know, I was just, I was upstairs in the back room of this dingy Times Square strip club. I could hear my best friend on the other side of the wall. I had snuck down to New York City. I just felt alone and scared. And I just looked at her and I said, "Yes." And it was the first time that I'd ever said that out loud to anybody. And I remember she looked at me and she said, "It's okay." And she was so loving, like just, she really meant it. She just was like, "It is okay." And I remember I could hear New York City outside the window. I could hear taxis and I could hear people laughing. And I remember just hearing the sounds of night. And I remember thinking, you know what? It is okay. Like I knew that it was okay. In that moment, I thought, I just have to get out of where I am and sort of get to where I'm going. You know, I paid her $90. I think that's what she charged me. And I always say it was the best $90 I ever spent because she really empowered me in that moment.
Well, and she gave you permission to be you. That's like a huge thing right there. You know, a lot of us, we kind of need somebody sometimes to say, "It's okay. Give yourself permission to be exactly who you are." And then once we do, it helps us the next go around. And then once we really start to own that we are okay, then we're good. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Still going to be easy, but it's that first moment of really owning your story, which is what we're kind of talking about here, is you got to own your story to really begin to feel the empowerment.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, you know, people always ask, it's almost cliche, like if you could go back and tell your younger self anything, what would you tell your younger self? And I just would just tell myself to relax, that there was nothing wrong with me. I was always trying to be somebody else or something else. And it wasn't until later on that I really understood the power of just being exactly who I was and how unique that was. And just that I was actually kind of great, you know, and funny and charming. And I had all these wonderful things going for me, even like, you know, like I had a short-lived acting career and I was always trying to be somebody else. I was always trying to like be Johnny Depp, or I was trying to be, you know, this other actor that I wasn't, where if I just sort of embraced who I came to the table with, I think I would have been a lot more successful at it, you know?
Right.
And so it's nice to be able to do that now as a writer and a storyteller, because everything I've gotten published or every success I've had on stage, it's really just been about me standing there being 100% authentically me, you know?
I think you just hit on a key point, because I was going to, you know, ask some questions here and we might as well just dive into it. But, you know, as a storyteller, what do you think are the good components of a great story?
You know, I think you got to have a beginning, a middle, and an end, which it sounds really obvious, but a lot of people don't. You know, sometimes people have an antidote and, or they'll have like something funny that happened, but I think you have to always say to yourself when you're writing a story, even if it's just a 5 to 7 minute story, to say out loud, you have to say, okay, what is this about? You have to ask yourself, what is this about? And then when you go back and you find yourself sort of rambling, or if you have too many words and, or if it's 3 minutes longer than it's supposed to, you just keep going back to what's this about and really ask yourself, like, what is this about? Like, is this a coming out story? And then when it's not a coming out story, that's where you edit. And, you know, again, it's that thing of just like, you have to ask yourself, like, are you telling the truth? Like, did this happen? Like, sometimes things, you know, there's, my teacher always talks about killing your babies, meaning that, like, sometimes you'll have funny things in there that you think are really funny and you just don't want to get rid of them. But it's like, they really don't serve the story. They don't really have anything to do with the story. And then, you know, sometimes I'll write something and I'll take it to my teacher and I'll run it by her and she'll say, what is this part here? And like, that's the thing I don't want to get out of the story because I know it's going to get a laugh. And she'll say, yeah, but you know, you're actually probably going to get a laugh somewhere else if you get rid of that, because that's like a written thing that probably really isn't true. It's just something inauthentic that you've got in there to get a laugh. So it's really just about being honest, being truthful, and asking yourself what it's about.
And the reason I asked that question is because I kind of knew where you might go because I've been around you enough and heard you talk. But if you were really listening closely, those of you who are listening to this podcast, which we get a lot of people listening to this, you just kind of laid out kind of five really, actually six really powerful things. When you get ready to tell your coming out story, think about having a beginning and a middle and the end. There is an end to you sharing your coming out story with those that you're coming out to. Now, that end doesn't mean you're done, but if you know where you're going to start, kind of where the filler is of how you got to this place and why you're now sharing who you are, you can really have a tight story. But then what I've seen happen, and because I, you know, all people that listen know that I coach people constantly around this sort of stuff, is then as soon as they kind of say, so that's just who I am. This is, I know who I am now. I'm this person who's gay or lesbian or bi or trans or whatever it is. And if they would just stop there, they're kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
But then they keep going and start justifying and saying, well, and then this is, okay, just kind of let things hang, because what happens in storytelling, and I know you'll agree with me here, is as a storyteller, you can get really excited about what you're telling a story about. But what happens as an audience is you got to give the audience time to catch up and hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And those pauses and those moments where you let things kind of hang out there in space are really important. And the same thing's going to happen when you get ready to tell your story about, yes, I'm gay or I'm bi or trans or whatever it may be. Now, the other things that Jesse just brought up that I thought were really, really, really powerful were when he said, what's this all about? Being really clear about what your coming out is all about is going to help you so much, because you got to be solid in what this is all about. This is about you being you. It's about you living your truth. And you also brought up, you know, asking yourself, are you telling the truth or are you telling something that kind of softens things? Now, I'm not saying you can't, you don't have to give everybody the whole kit and caboodle of stuff when you're giving your coming out story, but ask yourself if you're telling your truth, because I can tell you what's going to happen, and I'm going to have Jesse kind of weigh on in on this too, is if you're not really being truthful when you're going through this, you're going to feel uncomfortable. If you're kind of like messing around and going, well, you know, da, 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 the inauthenticity and everything will show up, and you're going to really have a hard time sharing and telling the people that you want to share about, this is who I am, because there's some little bit of inauthenticity or truth showing up. And I'm just curious, now that I've said all that, what are your thoughts?
You know, I think that so much of it is about the truth. You know, a lot of times, especially about something as tender and as vulnerable as coming out stories tend to be.
Yep.
I mean, you know what, I think today, you know, people have the good fortune, and I'm so happy. You know, I think it's, I shouldn't say that. I think it can be a little easier today for some people to come out, a little more celebrated than it was. It depends, I guess, where you are and stuff like that. But I think that the thing is, everybody's story has value and everybody's story is unique. And you have to just trust that you're enough, you know, that your story, the way it is enough. That if you just tell the truth, that that's going to be enough. And it's funny because I hear so many people stand up and tell stories. I listen to, you know, podcasts where people are telling stories. I listen to live storytelling. People send me stories to read. People come to my night and put their name in the hat. I have invited storytellers. I hear so many stories. And you know when somebody is telling the truth. Like, you just know. And I don't know what that is. You just know when somebody's telling the truth, and you know when somebody's not. And, you know, it's not as interesting when someone's not, even if what they're saying is really, really interesting and exciting. There's something about the fact that it's, you know, it's a little fabricated or a little exaggerated. And listen, that has its place. It really does. That has its place, but that's fiction, you know? And so if for this sort of thing, if you can just tell your story and you can tell it enough, it's a really powerful thing. You know, a really cool thing has happened to me lately. My husband, Jesse, and I were going to do some work in the LA County jail system. And we're going to do it on the 9th floor, which is the gay division of the jail. And, you know, we presented a program for them. Jesse, of course, my husband runs Inspire. So he's a reverend and he wants to go in and offer spiritual services. And then I offered a storytelling thing where we would go and work with the inmates and, you know, give them prompts and they would be able to tell their story and find their story. And I would go for a set amount of weeks with the idea of a performance at the end. And they really jumped on that. Like, they're like, oh, this is really interesting. This is a really a powerful thing for these guys because, you know, it's a way for them to take their story and whatever they have around their story and put it into a really, you know, use the energy of that to get it out of them, but in a positive way. Again, it's just always going back to just like knowing that your story is enough, the way you tell it. If you're telling the truth, maybe you should be a little uncomfortable, you know, telling it. I like memorizing it or not memorizing it, but like telling it without notes because it's good to get a little lost, I think, up there, because if you get a little lost up there, then you really do fall back on, again, just telling the truth, because that's what you have to go on, you know?
Yeah. You know, one of the things I've noticed is when I do get into my story. So today I had two classes, not quite back to back. There was about an hour break in between them. And I knew I was going to use this particular story because I was in a high school setting and, you know, I kind of customize the, what I do when I speak based on whether it's college, university, you know, whatever it may be. And the first class was first thing this morning, the kids were half asleep. So I knew that I had to kind of perk the story up, you know, I had to keep it kind of up and going and keep it moving, you know, but even in those moments, there were moments that I also knew I just kind of needed to like let myself be back in that moment of that story to let it just unfold naturally. And it was interesting because the teacher obviously sat through both talks that I did. And she came up to me afterwards and she goes, "You're like this master storyteller." She goes, "I already had heard the story," but she goes, "there was stuff you did that was really, I saw a different vulnerability in you the second go around than I did the first one." And I always take those things as a real compliment that you can do that, you know? I think that's the important piece, you know, as we're talking to people who may be considering coming out and listening to this show and looking for tips on how do you do this is, it's okay to show your vulnerability when you have these conversations. It's okay to say, you know, I'm kind of scared because, you know, I know this is different and I know that this is who you know me to be. And this is who I thought I knew me to be too. And when you can do that, you start connecting. I think sometimes, and it's all situational. Okay.
Yeah.
I will say it's all situational because it depends on your situation. But I think if you can give yourself the love, the self-love and caring to go, all I'm doing is telling my truth. That's it.
Yep.
It's still going to be probably challenging, but when you try to say, and I say this to clients all the time, we're not going to reinvent the wheel when it comes to telling those people around you that you're, you know, that you're gay or bi or whatever it may be. We're going to use same communication skills that you've used in the past when you've had really big things to talk to your friends and family about. So,
you know, it's interesting. Lately, Jesse and I, we've really had the experience of coming out again, so to speak. You know, we are fostering a child that we're hoping to adopt. And we've been working our way through Child Protective Service and the foster care system. And, you know, when we met the mother of this child, we had been told ahead of time that she wasn't crazy about the idea that we were both men. So, I mean, it had been such a long time in my life that since someone had said that, and we both, Jesse and I, we both said to the social worker, we said, well, she had wanted to take the boy and bring him to his mom without us. And we both said, no, we absolutely have to come. We have to be there, because if there's homophobia, then she has to meet us, because the only way that we're going to get through that is if she can meet us. And yep. She gets to have the experience of going, okay, I thought it was this, but it's not. Mm-hmm. I thought it was one thing, but it's not. Or I thought it was this and it is this, but I like them anyway. Mm-hmm. And, or maybe she's going to, you know, it's only going to make things worse. I don't know. But I knew that the only chance we were going to have would be to stand in front of her and say, which we did. We had a meeting with her son and us, and we're the foster parents of her baby. And, you know, when we were all in the room, we said to her, we said, you know, we understand that you're not crazy about us both being men. And she got very quiet. And we said to her, you know, that's okay. You know, we don't know the experience that you have with this, but let us tell you a little bit about us. You know, Yeah. We're married. We're actually legally married. And my husband is a reverend. We have spiritual practices. You know, we believe in this and this and this. And she was really listening to us. She didn't say a lot, but by the end of it, you know, she was texting us safe travels, and it's changed our entire relationship with her. Mm-hmm. So I think so much of, like, you know, you're talking about coming out, and it's the coming out lounge. It's like, it is. It's about being truthful. It's about being honest. It's also about, like, I think about when I really came out and how vulnerable I was and how scared I was and how much confidence I didn't have. Yeah. I think you have to be really careful about who you tell to, and really going where the love is, and, you know, choosing the people you tell first wisely, you know?
Well, and I also think that, you know, the piece of, there's the owning your story and knowing your story, but you have to also find the places where you can connect. And part of the connection piece is what you just said, is knowing. I mean, it's truly, I mean, Christopher, it's truly knowing, okay, this person is safe, or this person is safe, or at least as safe as you can expect, you know, mm-hmm. You don't know. And people have heard me talk on this show numerous times about find your circle, find your support group. And at times that's going to be hard too. Because what you may think is, okay, this person's going to be good. I think I can trust them and go with them. And they may not. But most of the time, your gut instinct's going to serve you. And it's much easier to share your story with someone that you kind of are pretty sure you're going to hit a home run with, or at least get to first or second base with on the story, than somebody that, okay, they may be the person that you really love and care about. But if you're on the fence at all, go find some other people to share the story with, and get used to telling the story. Get used to, you know, being able to share who you are, and find those connecting dots. Because even when people don't embrace you, there are pieces of humanity that you can throw out there to at least attempt to make the connections.
Yeah.
What storytelling is all about. And the difference, and I don't want people to get this misconception that when we're talking storytelling, it's like some made up story. We're talking about storytelling for your truth. And that's what I love about what Christopher does with his storytelling event, is it has to be a true story. It has to be something you personally have experienced. And I think that's the key when you think about coming out too, is this is my experience. This is what I know to be true for me. And the more you can sit in that space, and the more you can come from that space, the easier it's going to be, even in the most difficult of situations.
Yeah, it's really true. It's funny. I haven't thought about a lot of all this in a long time, but when you were just talking, I remember, like, the first person after that prostitute I told, I remember telling my mother, and I remember thinking my mother was going to react a certain way, and she didn't react that way at all. I thought she was kind of hinted at it to me that she knew. And then when I told her, she acted completely surprised and burst into tears. And it started this whole snowball going down the hill, where I ended up calling my brother, who I didn't want to tell at the time, because I felt like she needed somebody to talk to about it. And, you know, but it all worked out in the end. You know, I remember, though, how tender I felt all the time. I remember before the first, like, say, I don't know, 5 to 7 people in my immediate family, like those people, when I told them first, I remember, like, really, like, almost like hyperventilating, like going into the bathroom and closing the door before these conversations, and knowing it was going to happen, and, like, trying, you know, praying and breathing and trying to calm myself down. But I was a nervous wreck. I really was. I was scared. There was stakes, high stakes. I really felt like people would throw me away. Luckily, they didn't.
But what you just brought up is yet another aspect of the storytelling. It's the stories we're telling ourselves in our heads about what's going to happen. And none of us know. I mean, that's the thing that I really work with clients on. It's like, okay, you may feel like, you know, that's going to happen. And you may know that person well if you think this is where they're going to go. But we know, none of us really know. So if we can let go of the stories, which I know is hard because we're humans, that's what humans love to do, is create stories about what's going to happen. I mean, I know you and Jesse have been through a lot during your fostering of this beautiful new little bundle of joy in your life. But I know you guys have also got lots of stories going on about, man, what, you know, are we going to make it through this? Are we going to be able to adopt him? So on and so forth.
Yeah.
So it's part of us as human nature that we do create these stories. But when we can stop, pause, and take a breath, you know, as Jesse would say, take a deep breath and allow spirit to guide and allow the universe or God or whatever that is that moves you. Even if you don't have any belief system in something like that, there's still something that's going to move you forward as a human. And if you just take that moment to breathe into it and go, okay, let go. If I could just let go of that thought, then what would be different? Take the next breath. And if I could let go of that thought, then what would be different? And then if I could let go, suddenly you find yourself starting to let go of all the stories. And you may create new ones, but sometimes the new ones that you created are the ones that are like, okay, so this could happen. I could tell this person, they could be totally okay with it. They could embrace me. They could say, I always knew. And I'm so glad you finally came to this and da, 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 da. But yet what we tend to do is tell the stories that get us all tied up in knots and make us anxious and make us nervous and scared. And that's going to be part of it too. So I want listeners to really know whatever the stories are, they're all okay.
Yeah.
They really are, because that's just part of this journey that we go on as we come to this truth of who we are. So what's next? What big stuff you got going on? Let's kind of get back to the world of storytelling real quick here before we wrap everything.
We have a 2-year anniversary of Bada Bing, the story night that I produce and MC. I created it with my husband, Jesse. The 2-year anniversary is June 8th in West Hollywood. I'm at Inspire Spiritual Community at 9056 Santa Monica. We've got 4 invited storytellers, including Lauren Weedman from Looking, and we've got Laura House, and we've got a violinist. It's going to be a really exciting, fun, great night. I've written a play called New American Parents that I'm about to have a play reading of, which is really exciting. I'm super excited about that. It's about a gay couple that have worked with a pregnant woman who they have paid for all of the doctor bills and everything with the intention that when she has the baby, she's going to let them adopt the baby. And in her 8th month of pregnancy, she calls them and tells them that the biological father wants to meet them. So the play is about that evening and what occurs in that evening when the 4 of them get together. And so I have that going on. I'm a new father along with my husband, and he's 10 weeks old. And that really takes a lot of stuff right now. We have a big court hearing coming up to see whether or not we're going to be able to adopt him. So we're full on committed that that's the way it's going to go. And we're full on committed to parenting in the meantime while that's going on. So yeah, it's a pretty full play right now.
It is a full play. It is
yeah.
a full play.
I mean, we have the storytelling event that I'm going to do coming up in the Los Angeles jail. And I sit on the board of directors of Inspire Spiritual Community, which is Jesse's spiritual community in West Hollywood. And that's a full-time job in itself. And we have Sunday service and all kinds of amazing things going on all the time there. So that's really cool as well.
Yes, it is a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place with welcoming arms. And if you are in the Los Angeles area, we'll have a link to Inspire as well as everything about Christopher on the webpage. But it's really a place that you can not only go come and get your spirit filled, but you can get your joy, you can get your happiness, you can get your laughter, you can get support, whatever you need. It's just a great community. I'm so glad I got connected to it. And through Jesse, I got to know you. And now we've gotten to become friends and we know each other.
Absolutely.
In the world. And so it's great to have these connections. And it is all about your story. For those of you listening, just know at the heart of everything, it's your story. And you have the right to live your story and be your story. So
yeah. And if you do have a story, you know, if you do come to the 2-year anniversary of Bada Bing, there are 3 names drawn from the pot. So you have a chance to get up in front of everybody and tell your story. And at the end, the audience picks a favorite, and we're going to give that person $200. So you could win some money too. So it's an exciting night with a cash prize at the end as well.
That's very cool. So one last question that I always ask every guest before we wrap up here is, you know, Christopher, everybody's got their journey. Everybody's looking for, you know, a little bit of advice. So if you could, you know, leave anybody who's kind of searching, trying to find their way, maybe they're partway out of the closet, maybe they're still in and they're just not sure how to move forward. But if you could leave them some advice on really stepping forward to be who they are, what would be something you'd like to leave our listeners with?
You know what? I didn't invent this phrase, but I love it. I love that "it gets better" campaign. When I was a kid, there was nothing like that. And I will tell you that it does get better because, you know, the thing is that I was thinking before when you were talking and we were talking about the fear and the stuff that comes up. But on the other end of that is like not telling your story and not telling the truth becomes so uncomfortable that if you can just walk through those moments, it's not going to be for that long. And when you look back on your life, it's a sliver of time. Mm-hmm. So if you can just, you know, walk through those first moments and stumble through them or walk through them proudly, whatever it is, you know, just to be willing to know that, like, I don't know how this is going to go, but I trust that it has to happen and that I'm going to come out on the other side of it and I'm going to be okay no matter what, because the other option is not telling the truth. And a lot of people live their life in that. And that is something that, you know, is so much more uncomfortable than weaving your way and navigating yourself through the actual coming out process. So it just, you know, it is going to be all right. That's what I would say.
It is. And you are all right, Christopher. Thank you so much for being here with us and sharing yourself.
My pleasure. What fun.
Person on the planet. So appreciate you being with us here today. And I can't wait to see you again real soon, my friend.
Me too. Thank you so much. I'm really pleased to be here. Thank you, everybody.
So there you have it. Another episode of the Coming Out Lounge has come to a screeching halt. Well, maybe not a screeching halt, but yeah, it is wrapping up right here. And thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening and being with us here today. And I want to reach out to my listeners right now and say, you know what? I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear your questions that you might like to get addressed here on the show. I'd love to hear your comments, your suggestions. Maybe you know someone who would make a great guest. So if you would like to do that, you would like to give us some feedback and give us some ideas for guests, or you want a question that you want me to answer, give us a ring. Yes, that means dial your phone, 949-371-8559, 949-371-8559. That actually goes to a Skype voicemail box, so you can call us from anywhere that you have access to a Skype number. You don't have to have Skype to dial that number. For those of you who are out of the country, that might make it a little bit easier. Or if you want to send us an email, just send it to rick@rickclemons.com. Again, rick@rickclemons.com, and Clemons is C-L-E-M-O-N-S. We would love, love, love to hear from you so we can put more into the show that's coming from our listeners. And with that, we're going to call it a wrap and wish you well for the coming week. Never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your powerful truth, because every time you do, it's simple to be bold. Take care, everyone.